Let's find out what's on Bill's mind today. It's Wake Up with Bill Finch, live on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
And welcome, everybody, to Wake Up, your radio home for truth, justice, and democracy. This is your radio home if you're tired of being divided and manipulated, tired of right-wing screamers and whiners of talk radio, tired of science deniers, billionaires, bullies, and climate deniers, tired of those who won't fight for you, tired of those who openly defy our laws and our sacred constitution, like our president does on a moment-to-moment basis. If you're tired but you want to do something about it, Wake Up will help strengthen you for the battles ahead. 1 hour every Sunday, Connoisseur Media allows me this hour to bring you guests who will provide not only the information you need, but a patriotic, full-throated endorsement of the pillars of democracy and red meat for the ideals that built this great nation. To preserve our freedoms, we must never be too tired to resist. And I know, ladies and gentlemen, and those of you who don't use those pronouns, that resisting is getting harder and harder. When you see a Republican Party lockstep, like the Bundestag, how did you say that? In Germany, the Bundestag. Yeah, like all those people with jackboots. That's what they're like these days in Congress. They're going to support him no matter how many times the courts have said he's broken the Constitution or broken the law, defying what every president up till now has realized, the balance of power between Congress and the president, between the branches, co-equal branches of government. And we have a guest that's going to be talking to us in a little bit. We were going to hopefully hear from Brett Brosder, a man in Washington, about what it's like to live in an armed hellhole, which is now what the president has defined Washington, D.C., our beautiful nation's capital, which I visit often and have never had any problems when I visit there, and I love it and I feel safe. But he's declared an emergency. He's taken over local authorities, not coordinating with them. There was a story the other day about a guy who had an open container in his car, and 12 soldiers surrounded his car. And anyone surrounded by 12 soldiers is right to panic, because that's not a good thing, especially on the streets of America. He evidently resisted arrest, and a simple citation for an open container in his car became a potential 8-year sentence. Obviously, this plays into the authoritarian playbook of Donald Trump. It gets everyone excited, it gets them to overreact, and it keeps him the center of attention, and he floods the zone with all kinds of inappropriate and unethical and illegal actions. This week, we saw tremendous activity by a lot of tatted-up, steroid-appearing-looking masked ICE agents in Norwalk, Danbury, and Stanford. We saw the video of a man asking for sympathy as he was slammed to the pavement, tased, kneed, and then kept saying he was a citizen and that didn't matter. He was treated pretty brutally by the ICE agents. It seems like they're recruiting a lot of people who like to bully people, who like to show their power and their muscles and their tattoos. Not exactly what we had hoped for from uniformed police officers obeying the Constitution and not a president. The president's rightly a commander-in-chief, but our first pledge is to our Constitution, not to a person. Our guest today, Senator Sujata Godkar-Wilcox, is not only our state senator, not only my noble adversary in a recent a political election, who I have tremendous respect for, never felt better about losing, I would say, than when I lost to you. We've had a week, and we're going to just, I guess Brett's not calling in, so we're going to bump up Senator Godkar-Wilcox a little bit, and I know her husband's going to call in about 20 after. He's another professor. So in addition to being our senator, carrying tremendous amounts of weight for our district, working with the Democratic Party to keep Connecticut friendly to business, friendly to science, upwardly mobile, ever improving, improving our state finances, by the way, with some help from some Republicans, which is really nice to see. We've salted away tons of money in our rainy day fund, which has been helping our bond rating, which keeps our state financially sound, which it hasn't been for many years. And starting under Governor Malloy and now under Governor Lamont, the Democrats have led the effort to refill the pension funds, which were never filled. I had a recent opportunity to talk when I worked for the New York State of New York as the Thruway director I had a chance to talk to Rob Mojica, the budget director of the state of New York. And I said, Rob, you know, I was a lawmaker for 8 years over in Connecticut, and we always had one catastrophe after another. Why is that? Why is New York so stable? He says, because we fund our pensions every year. It's the simplest thing in the world. You just have to fund your pensions every year. Now we're doing it with Democratic leadership and some Republican support. It's a great place to live, work, and play, Connecticut. So this week, we've had some really interesting things happen. I'm going to list them off, and then I'm going to ask Senator Wilcox, after we come back from a break, to react to some of them. Before the break, let me just list the ICE arrests in Norwalk, Danbury, and Stamford, some done legally, some not, evidently. People being disappeared, which is not what you do in a democracy. We have lots of legal protections in the First Amendment and in the Bill of Rights and throughout the Constitution. Rosa DeLauro, a longtime member of Congress, has called for RFK Jr. to resign. He's a shame to his family, let me just say that. He's degrading the name of Kennedy, which we've all held high as great accomplishments for the public for their public service. He wants to disassemble the CDC, the Center for Disease Control. He's gotten rid of the head of it, and he wants to create all these kind of doubts in people's minds about the great science that backs up our vaccines that have saved millions of lives and would have saved more if Trump had acted quicker during the pandemic. A recent article in The Guardian, an Egyptian who was freed after being illegally detained, fled the country because he said America is authoritarian and he doesn't feel safe here. And that's how a lot of immigrants are feeling, ladies and gentlemen. They're feeling like they could be swept up. When you go to the courts where people are going through the legal process of becoming a citizen, who are here claiming asylum, and then you use that opportunity to grab them and disappear them to foreign countries, that is not America. That is not covered in our Constitution. We've seen tremendous job loss in New London because of a unilateral and probably illegal action by the president to stop the wind energy being deployed off the coast. How could anybody be against clean energy, especially when it's 80% complete and then you stop it? So all the work that's going in will never be connected to the grid to give you clean energy to your home because of DJT. It's amazing. The list goes on. Secret Service protection being eliminated for people who have been threatened, like former Vice President Kamala Harris. That allows the thugs from the right wing that answer to Donald Trump the ability to harass them and maybe hurt them. He's threatened to arrest George Soros and his son. You may not agree with him, but in America, we don't arrest our opponents. That's what Mao Zedong did. That's what Stalin did. That's what Hitler did. Those are authoritarian tactics, not democratic tactics. Raided John Bolton's home. A man who has, as a Republican, stood up to the insanity of the Republican Party. So what did they do? They raid his home. They trump up things. Maybe they planted stuff to make him look guilty. Who knows? We're living in a police state where anything's possible. They've reinstated AmeriCorps funding after the courts made them to. So all the kids who go off in the summer, like the Peace Corps in the cities of America, can now continue their work to help eliminate poverty and disease within the cities and improve the quality of life for people there. The judge has stopped the tariffs because they're too broad. And, you know, we're going to get into some of these reasons for the judges, and we have an expert here who can tell us. But they're basically saying, you know, you're not going by the Constitution. All presidents before him, for the most part, have. And when they haven't, they've been censured or impeached. And the drop in employment, we've had great increasing numbers here because of Democratic leadership with the growing economy. And now because of the harassment of the undocumented community, we see those numbers going down. So we're going to take a break. That's a list. It's a partial list of the desecration of the pillars of American democracy by the man in the White House. We'll come right back after this with a legal explanation from Senator Godkar Wilcox about why this is all against the Constitution.
Fairfield County Talk for a Sunday morning. Wake Up with Bill Finch is live on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
And we're back and still having our rights of free speech protected thanks to Connoisseur Media and the lovely people who give me this hour every week to give you the other side of the coin from what's happening in America to our democracy. And boy, are we lucky to have two of the smartest people I know. We have Senator Godkar Wilcox here, who represents Trumbull, Bridgeport, and Monroe in the state Senate and does a fine job. And we have her husband, Win Godcar Wilcox, who is a brainiac in his own right. He's a professor of non-Western cultures, the history of non-Western cultures, and he can talk on just about any subject that's contemporary and has some pretty strong opinions, thankfully, about how what's going on and how we can save our democracy. Right, Win? Win, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I was almost ready to go to Senator Godcar Wilcox, who's been here waiting patiently to espouse on her knowledge of the Constitution and what the crazy guy in the White House has been doing to undermine the pillars of democracy. But I understand you have a specific complaint about something I mentioned earlier about people who are trying to go through the process of becoming American citizens, and somewhere along the line in the legal process, the tatted up, steroid masked ICE agents are grabbing them off the street as they go into court.
Yeah, so, you know, I hear from a lot of people the point that if we don't like what's going on with ICE, then, you know, people should just come here legally. And I think the important thing to know is that millions of Americans did, millions of people did just that. They came here under programs like humanitarian parole or TPS, temporary protected status, or they're coming here to go to a court to seek asylum because they have a fear of persecution in their home country. And all of that is legal. And what the Trump administration has done is cancel TPS and humanitarian parole, and pick up people who are legally attempting to go to a court and claim asylum based on their persecution. And these people are from countries, they're fleeing socialism. They're fleeing Cuba, they're fleeing Nicaragua, they're fleeing Venezuela.
Fleeing Russia.
They're fleeing Russia. So I want to...
Your wife has a very interesting take on that. Let me ask you to opine on the whole thing with Russia and how the Republicans have sort of given up on democratic voices in the former Soviet Union.
Oh, well, it's the same point, actually, that Wynn is making now.
I kind of give equal time between the partnership here.
You know, and I think the main point is when people say, oh, we're talking about legal versus illegal, you know, you're here illegally and that's a criminal act. Well, people who are fleeing oppression, it's not only that it's not illegal. We have a legal mandate, in fact, that we sign on to as the United States under the Refugee Convention. The only mandate in the Refugee Convention is that we will not send someone back who's claimed a fear of persecution in their home country. We will not send them back without allowing them to have some due process, some hearing to basically verify whether
that's true. So it's not due process when you disappear them to a camp in the middle of alligator-infested property in Florida, and it's not due process when you send them to El Salvador to a place that we don't even know where it is.
That's not due process, right? Absolutely.
Well, there are people listening who may not understand it. Yes. This is highly illegal behavior of the president.
Well, that's even worse because you're sending them right to now you're sending them to places where, in fact, historically there have been instances where people have been harmed, have been tortured. There has been conflict. But that's step two. Step one is first we were obligated to provide an opportunity for them to be heard. That's what we agreed to under the Refugee Convention, under the Refugee Act. Is that we at least let them go before a neutral arbiter, a judge, to say, here's why I'm fleeing, and do you believe me? And the judge has to first determine whether or not that's true.
But all
that's
the judges are on the take, right? Aren't all the judges unethical and on the take and socialist and just Democrats,
well,
activists?
Well, as a lawyer, I hope not. We have the judges that are standing up now. You know, and here's
Listen,
the one
I've,
thing, the
I,
Constitution is not partisan.
When we're in the Senate, we have to vote for people to the court. And we don't know what party they're affiliated with, generally speaking. I didn't know.
We never used to ask. Yeah.
No. And so I'm sure I have voted to confirm Republicans. And the category is, were they ever stealing? You know,
right.
Were they ever unethical? Do they have a great record as a jurist,
right.
As a lawyer? Do they have experience in that body of law that they're going to be judging on? Those were the things that we always judged, right?
Right. I mean, because appointing a judge is not partisan, and it should not be partisan, let me say.
Well, it is now with Trump.
Well, this is
he has a litmus test, right?
Everything seems partisan. Yeah, and because we don't appoint judges based on political ideology. Now, based on constitutional ideology is different. Based on the way they interpret statutes, that's their statutory
interpretation. Well, I would go a little further and say that the Federalist Society is a bunch of hooey and is not in keeping in any way with the founding fathers. And to name them the Federalist Society would make John Jay and Alexander Hamilton and James Madison and George Washington roll over in their grave incessantly because they didn't interpret it like the Federalist Society with all of their big dark money are interpreting it.
Well, this is what I think is most important. This is why I've been doing talks on the Constitution. Again, why I say the Constitution is not throughout Connecticut.
And people have been coming?
Oh, people have been coming because they want to know what the document says. And I think I saw somewhere that the Federalist Papers are one of the most downloaded documents today or this year so far.
Wow.
Because
that's
people
great.
Want it. And it's great. I mean, it's not great because
when do you ever
afraid.
Go to your wife's constitutional lectures or do you get them at breakfast?
All the time.
Yeah,
I want to know about
all the time.
This too.
What's that?
I said, I want to know about this too. Yeah. What? They're very useful. You should go to one sometime.
I was telling Sujata, Senator Godkar Wilcox, yesterday when we spoke about Harvard's response to being sued and intimidated and have their research money that, of course, is just going to save Americans' lives and protect their crops. But that's another story for another day. They've offered a free course. And if you go to XED, not TEDx, but EdX. It's MIT and Harvard, and it's online. And Professor Danielle Allen it's not terribly interactive, but it's very good. Fundamentals of the Constitution and Civics. I would recommend anybody take it. I'm almost done with it. And even myself, who's been in politics for over a half a century, I'm interested in what this course is telling about me and my role in democracy. And I think everyone should take it. But go ahead. You were talking about you're going around the state talking to people.
Well, yeah. Well, one thing I want people to know, the Constitution is the people's document. You know, it's not there to be interpreted by lawyers and politicians. It's complicated because we have a common law system. So a lot of what the Constitution, the limits on the constitutional amendments, for example, that comes from court interpretations. So it does take some time to understand what those are. But the document itself belongs to the people. And many people, I would say, haven't even read the whole thing.
Yeah. And when we say we were ruled by an authoritarian, we're obviously ruled by someone who has very little respect for the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution, clearly hasn't read it. When Terry Moran, who has been fired because of this interview, I think, asked the president while he sat at the Resolute desk, what's your feeling about the Declaration of Independence, which was a giant middle finger to a king.
Right.
And by the way,
document.
Most of the 24 allegations against the king are ones you could make easily against this king, Donald Trump. But so read it. If you don't believe me, just read it and then tell me what you think. He said to Terry Moran, oh, it's a wonderful, loving document, and it's about brotherhood, and it's absolutely none of that.
It's a list of grievances.
It's the opposite of that. It was a giant middle finger to the king that we were going to, a ragtag bunch of people, were going to assert our freedoms.
Well, and they had to do it with some care and caution because, you know, you were trying to separate
them. They didn't want to create a king.
Right.
They risked their lives to not have a king, and now we're moving back to having one.
And and what you say is absolutely right. I mean, there are so many parallels. It's frightening, actually, in the Declaration. And I don't think people realize that when we have Declaration readings throughout this country on the 4th of July, which is my birthday, by the way. So it's a special, special day for me.
That was unfair campaigning against you because you always brought that out. I was like, mine's March 4th. Maybe Caesar said March 4th. I don't know, but. You were born on the 4th of July. You and Bruce Springsteen. I mean, you got a leg up on everybody.
Those fireworks and this
just for your birthday.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the part of it, you know, what establishes that government is for the people and it's created for justice and equity. That's really important. Most of the document is just a list of grievances to say, look, what happens when you have an overreaching federal executive? That's too much.
Yeah, yeah. And so we fought the revolution for that, and we're going to have hopefully a bloodless revolution in the United States to get back our constitutional rights and the spirit of the democracy embodied in our U.S. Declaration of Independence, probably the greatest document written in modern times. We're going to be right back after these announcements.
Bill's got a lot on his mind, so let's get right to it. You're listening to Wake Up with Bill Finch, live on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
And welcome back to Wake Up, where I do have a lot on my mind, as I'm sure you do, and I know our two guests do, and I wish we had less on our mind. I wish we had a president who was going by the Constitution and not keeping teams of lawyers busy trying to enforce the law when he breaks the law. It's just a little detail, I think, in our lives that is certainly more than a pee under the mattress. It's dystopian for me because I have lived a very active political life for over a half a century, and I've never seen anything like this. We've read about this, of course. We've read about this with the founding fathers fighting against a king. We read about this in Nazi Germany and communist China and communist Russia, where people's rights are routinely taken away. But we never really saw anything like this before, since the Civil War, where traitors tried to overthrow our government, like traitors tried to overthrow our government on January 6th. And Wynn, I want to come back to you, and I want you to react to something Stephen Miller said. There was a three-hour cabinet meeting where people kept blowing smoke up the tuchus of the president for about 3 hours, saying that he should be getting all this credit as a peacemaker and all this other stuff, when it's all a bunch of hooey and he's destroying our constitutional system of government. But it's driven a lot by the man behind the scenes who's been written that he's recruited members of the American Nazi Party to work for him. Whether or not that's true or not, who knows? But they certainly sound like it when they say things like, Chicago is a killing field. Now, I recently went to Chicago, and I can tell everybody who hasn't gone there, it is not a killing field. It does have a high murder rate in certain parts of the city, and that's because of illegal guns that Republicans will not help us control. He said the Democratic Party, now, truth in advertising here, all of us on this show are Democrats. Not that that should matter, because we're talking about the Constitution, not any particular party. In that only, we reprimand the Republicans for not calling in his unconstitutional behavior. He says, Stephen Miller, the aide to the president, the one calling the shots in the White House, that the Democratic Party, Wynn, Sujata, and Bill, the Democratic Party is not a political party. It's a domestic extremist organization, he said in a strident tone, claiming that the party was devoted, quote, exclusively to the defense of hardened criminals, gangbangers, illegal alien killers, and terrorists. Now, I don't remember anybody charging the Capitol to overthrow the government and killing police officers. I didn't see anybody but mostly white Protestants. I didn't see a lot of Jewish people. I didn't, at least that I could tell. It looked like everybody was pretty much uniform in their Christian nationalism and fervor. And they certainly weren't Democrats. So, Wynn, tell me what you see happening as a result of this milieu that's been cast over the administration, which is so extreme.
Well, what it makes me think about is just how different the Republican Party is from even the party of Reagan. Reagan used to talk about the fact that in the United States, in America, you can come from anywhere and become an American. And that was unlike France or Germany or other nations where, you know, you have to have a long heritage of being German or France very often to be recognized. When Vietnamese refugees or Chinese refugees or Soviet refugees came to this country, it was Reagan and people like Jesse Helms who were most on board with getting them here. But, you know, in this atmosphere, I think it's very important for people to understand this isn't just about, you know, criminal, illegal aliens. This is about taking people who have a legal status here and revoking that status and sending them to foreign countries, oftentimes that are not even a country of their own. And that's a very dangerous Republican Party under Trump. It's something very different than what the Republican Party has historically stood for. And I'm very upset that people like Stephen Miller have changed fundamentally for their followers what it means to be an American. It should be about all of us coming from all over the world and believing in what the United States stands for and being, you know, being proud then to participate in that American dream.
You know, one of the most gratifying experiences of my life, other than being father to four kids, was being mayor of Bridgeport. And it was a wonderful experience. I was responsible for the running of a police department, not on a day-to-day basis. We had a police chief for that. But in terms of the relations with the community and the force and the chief, and I was happier than heck when we arrested bad people and put them in jail, because it meant that our constitutional rights were protected from their abuses. So I think this whole gaslighting of an entire party that has a great record of on crime and detention, as well as diversion and reforming criminals. We have a track record that I would say is best of the both parties, and it seems a shame that all of a sudden these extreme comments are made right from the White House. Sujata, what's your feeling about how the judges have been holding him accountable?
What basis are
they doing it on?
Yeah, let me.
Are they just Democratic Socialists and activist judges, or do they go by? Do they go by the Constitution?
They do. Well, I'm hoping they'll stand by the Constitution.
Seems like that most have.
A lot of them are. But let me just make a comment on this. You know, the sort of retaliation against political opponents or those you dislike, and this kind of polarizing language of the other. You know, it's very dangerous in the sense that, you know, you're creating this kind of tension and polarization in society. It also becomes unconstitutional because in Article 2, you know, we have the take care clause where the president, the executive, has to faithfully execute the laws. That means they have to apply without a kind of ideological basis.
Well, Trump said the other day that he could do anything he wants.
It's becoming really dangerous.
That's not legal, right?
Of course. But the point where it becomes alarming is when people are starting to become arrested because they're political opponents. That's extremely dangerous. So this language of, you know, it's one thing to have parties disagree with one another and to stand and say, I disagree, and here's why I disagree. It's another thing to say, you know, to create this kind of really inflammatory language that's targeting either your political opponent or anybody that you ideologically disagree with. And then on top of it, start raiding houses, start punishing them. That's extremely dangerous. And that, you know, that's not something we can.
That's unconstitutional. What kings do.
And that's especially why in Article 2 there is the take care clause. That the Constitution has to be faithfully executed, which means objectively, not based on any kind of partisan ideology. And that's the real danger here.
So if somebody who's a narcissist or a malignant narcissist becomes president, the risk is that they won't go by Article 2?
Well, this is where I find myself in a very surreal context, because the framers, in fact, created a Constitution that made it irrelevant who is in office. In fact, the Constitution is created around the offices, not around the people. When you start changing the structure of that office, you know, of the executive branch, of the legislative branch, of the judicial branch, that's when you start creating these structures that will, in the long run, continue this unconstitutional conduct because it becomes permissible. But in fact, the framers created a document that purposefully limited power. I mean, it's almost unbelievable today. So we wouldn't have a king.
Yeah.
Balance power. So and this is where the courts are coming back. They're hitting back, especially when there's restriction of funding that's been approved by Congress, you know, or where there are excessive tariffs that are being imposed. Those things have to be imposed based on congressional intent. And so when the executive is acting beyond Congress's
like
intent,
a king.
Yeah, like a king. That's a violation of separation of powers.
So in the Declaration of Independence, there were 27 grievances laid out.
Yes.
I'm not going to list them all, but many of them, you could see Trump copy the grievances and said, I'm going to try that. Taxation without representation, perhaps the most famous one, became the rallying cry. What was the attorney, Otis Warren, who came up taxation without representation. The imposition of an army without consent. Hello, D.C., next Chicago, L.A., they've had the army in their streets without the consent of the people in that city, with dubious objectives since crime in all those areas was going down. Obstruction of justice, the cutting off of trade, tariffs, and the dissolution of colonial legislatures, which might as well be dissolved when the president can come in and after the legislature has duly acted to create hundreds of jobs in the offshore wind, clean energy, to come in and just say, I'm president, I can do anything I want, I can stop those jobs. Anybody in a labor union, remember that. Wynn, what do you have to say about what we're looking at from the White House?
Well, I think that Sujata has hit on it, you know, very well. I think it's very dangerous when we can't have a common frame of reference to understand what it means to be an American, and what we all agree on. And what bothers me most about all of this is that, you know, people like Stephen Miller seem to think that only the people that think like him are truly Americans. And I just worry about the rhetoric more than anything.
Yeah. It seems to trickle down to people. I have family members who I can't talk to about this subject matter because they either haven't looked at it very deeply or they've been brainwashed or they just think this is okay. You know, I had a great experience teaching the apprentices civics at the IBW local hall that Sujata has been kind enough to come and visit and see how we create the middle class through the building trades of electricians and plumbers and the like. So I gave them out what I call Bill's pillars, Bill's pillars of American democracy. They're not mine, but when I handed them out, I put my name on it. A social contract, our natural rights, meaning we give some of the rights to be governed to our government in return for protection of our First Amendment and our Bill of Rights, the personal rights. Limits on government, meaning the government has to provide the evidence. There has to be habeas corpus. You have to come before a judge and in the public. None of this disappearing people. Representative democracy, universal suffrage, one person, one vote. Secure elections, private ballot, and by mail, if possible, because that's the most secure way to vote. It gets all the shenanigans that may go out in the field out of the way. People in the privacy of their home, they fill out their ballot, they mail it in. The rule of law, equal access to power without fear or favor, which we've seen broken down many times by this president. Due process of law, you're innocent until proven guilty. This is another thing. Take jury duty, people. I'd die to be on a jury. Every time I go there, they throw me out because I know the lawyers. It's the only thing in government I really haven't been able to do is participate in the judicial system. A trial by jury is something we fought a war for.
It's unique to the American system.
So all of these pillars.
Comes back to our government by the people.
You know, we take it for granted, but every day you're up there making laws, Sujata, you're thinking about these pillars of democracy. You're having all these actions go through this filter, and most reasonable people in government do that, right?
Yeah, and I want to keep reemphasizing that these pillars that you mentioned and these documents, the Declaration of Independence, Constitution, these are not partisan documents. So it's also dangerous to start putting a partisan spin. Now, there are different ways to interpret the document, and there are just different policy agreements that that go beyond it. But the framing of the document, the way we've separated powers, the way we've limited government and guaranteed due process, that's not up for negotiation. We all swore an oath to this document, not to our party, to the document, the Constitution.
And this is an act of free speech here, and it's paid for by our great sponsors who may not agree or disagree, who knows, but they support this radio station because it's vital to free speech. And we're going to go and hear from them and hear some advertisements, and we'll be right back after this.
Talking about what matters to you this morning. Wake up with Bill Finch. WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
And we are back with our two guests, the Godcar Wilcox Power Clan from Trumbull, Connecticut, who the partner who is the state senator represents Bridgeport, Trumbull, and Monroe in the state Senate, a seat that I once held, and I know how important that seat is, and I want to wish her the very best in the future, but I know that because she is well-grounded in the Constitution, and I didn't finish reading all the other pillars, but the trial by jury, equal protection under the law, checks and balances between the branches of government, which without a Republican Party in Washington acquiescing to that point, we don't really have it because they've given the president a blank check and no control over his irrational actions. The peaceful transfer of power, which we saw try to be interrupted on January 6th, a few years back, by Trumpers, and the balance of power between the federal and the states' rights, the federal system, which is a balance. And we've seen that upended where the president comes in and, like in Revolution Wind, just capriciously and uniformly stops a private contract that's going to create green, affordable energy, an unfettered free press. You know, another thing I'd like to get your reaction on, there's an article, I think it was in The Economist it was in The Times yesterday, and it was about these bloggers that have been thrown out of legitimate journalistic places where they work for plagiarism and lying, and they start their own podcast and get millions of followers of people who like their lies. And Trump will put them in the front row, get the first question at the press conferences at the White House. That's like never been done before. And what are your feelings about that? They steer the conversation toward these right-wing extreme positions like Alex Jones did, denying Sandy Hook's massacre.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that, of course, that as we're closing off, you know, public media and consolidating media and reframing issues in ways that only support one party or one interest, special interest in particular, that's another dangerous thing. You know, I mean, this is where I separate. That's not technically unconstitutional because that's sort of a decision of a policy decision. It's just never been done before because we try to balance the news, right? There is a requirement under congressional statutes that, you know, news reporting has to be balanced, and that's disintegrating as along with the disintegration of public radio. And it's very dangerous.
Not that I'm a conspiracy theorist, but there was that Chamber of Commerce effort in the early 60s to stop communism in America, and it convinced Reagan to eliminate the Fairness Doctrine, and it convinced Reagan to allow corporate ownership of the media. So now very few people own most of the means of communication.
Exactly. Yeah, and people don't know that. That's a really important history. And looking at the FCC regulations. That.
This mess we're in there started. Yes. If we had the Fairness Doctrine.
Look, yes, to require more balance.
Any minute, Connoisseur can pull the plug on this show. And as far, I listen to ICC all the time. This is the only thing like it on ICC, really. I think there's another show that has sort of a more, what would you call our slant? What is our slant? Pro-democracy slant. Not screaming memes about every little thing that's really not true when you look into it. I remember the one story that somebody sent me about how a federal judge ruled that illegal immigrants could vote in Louisiana, which was not true. I looked into it, and it found out they went there with 3,000 people on a list. Well, some of them were women who changed their name or people who changed their gender. So the judge threw those out. By the time they were done, there was less than 1,000 people on this supposedly, you know, blockbuster list, and the judge said, you have no proof. But it was the Secretary of State wanting clicks, you know, wanting visibility on social media for all the people that think there's this giant conspiracy. And they never stopped to look at the facts. It was a shame. You know, there's so many of these things out there that I think has really made your job more difficult, hasn't it?
Well, I think it becomes very difficult when everyone believes everything is partisan. And that's really the biggest problem. And that's why I think it's important to distinguish between, you know, policy initiatives that maybe you want to disagree with versus constitutional violations. Those are very serious because you're now fundamentally changing the structure of our government that has been in place for a reason, because as you said, the Declaration of Independence is a response to oppression.
Right.
It's a response to what happens when you have too much power in the hands of one person, in that case, a king. And so in order to respond to that, we balanced powers, we separated branches of government, we created a separation between the federal authority and state authorities, with the states having the balance of that authority. When you start concentrating all of that just in a federal executive, you know, this is well beyond President Trump. This is about an office that you're now changing forever in a way that's entirely unconstitutional because it changes that balance of power. That's not a partisan statement. And this is where, you know, same thing with deportations. It's one. It is an Article 1, Section 8 for the federal Congress and executive to have power over deportations. That's not new. What is so alarming today is the way that this is happening. Due process, however, is an absolute constitutional requirement. There's no question that you can just deport people who are claiming a fear of persecution. That's not something we have an obligation to provide that due process hearing. And the nature of the arrests, you know, that's frightening and alarming. So it's not that the power of deportation isn't with the federal government.
Right.
It's the way things are happening that's so frightening and alarming. And I just think that itself.
Let me ask this constitutional expert sitting here in front of me, who spends the money, who appropriates and spends the money, which branch of government, executive, legislature, or judicial?
Legislature.
Right.
It's all. I mean, that's why the legislature's Article 1. Article 1. That the legislature is when the legislature gives permission to spend money, that's how it gets spent. And the executive is there to implement that.
Can the president come in and stop that spending?
So the president can come in and put some parameters
right.
based on what Congress has written.
Still has to spend the money.
So, yes, but you can't go way beyond that. They can't just decide, oh, no, I changed my mind.
I'm doing something.
Right. No, without.
You can't create DOGE.
And you can't close agencies that have been created by Congress.
Right. You can't. And you know,
both directions are problems.
When you teach about non-Western cultures, tell us how the rest of the world. I'm embarrassed to say I'm an American right now. I'm very embarrassed because I can't believe this is happening in one of the most important democratic countries that's ever existed. I'm embarrassed that I'm an American and this is being done in my name. What's the rest of the world thinking of us? I mean, the headline in that Guardian article was something along the lines of, does the world look at America as an authoritarian regime?
Right. You know, I've spent my entire career studying authoritarian regimes, and I've spent a lot of that career traveling to China and Vietnam. And I remember the first time I went to Vietnam, somebody told me, oh, you better not say anything that's critical of the prime minister or of the government, because they'll arrest you or they'll send you home. And I thought to myself, I'm so glad that I live in a country where such a thing isn't possible. And what really alarms me now is that that's exactly what's happening here, that people who are not U.S. citizens, even people who are permanent residents in certain cases, are clearly being targeted because of their views or because of their speech. Anybody who has studied authoritarianism knows that that's where it starts.
Well said. And as we have got about a minute left, and pretty soon Bono is going to come in with his closing music here. Any final thoughts, Sujata, how you can be a state senator and keep hope alive, the country can keep hope alive?
Yeah, I mean, I want to say I'm actually proud to be American, because I look at the American people who are coming out, showing up, saying this is not okay, who want to know about the Constitution, who want to say that out beyond parties, this is a document we pledge our allegiance to. And I'm proud to stand with those people, and those are the American people.
I'm going to echo those words and let everybody know that I'm not leaving America. I'm fighting for what I believe is the just cause, and we're going to see you here next Sunday on Wake Up, and I hope to have guests as great as Win Godkar Wilcox and Sujata Godkar Wilcox. I hope this informed you, and we'll see you next Sunday on Wake Up.